la vie de Bella.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, that was a group called Voloshke, which means cornflower, and it's a pretty blue flower that is particularly popular in Ukrainian folklore. And that song was Yezhtebe Pidmanula, which is a song about a fickle young woman who's playing with boys' hearts. And Voloshke there were joined by Ron Kahoot and Buria from Toronto. Again, that was Yezhtebe Pidmanula. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на двомовну радіопередачу «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from beautiful Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-Macquarie, your host, known also as Pavlina in Ukrainian. Thank you so much for joining me. Whether you're tuning in via AM, FM, shortwave, the live online stream, the podcast, or in flight, welcome, vitaiu. We have a great program lined up for you. Vasil Pavlovsky will be by with his cultural capsule, and well-known Canadian author Myrna Kostash will join us to talk about her latest book. As well, we'll have another proverb and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Shum from Winnipeg from their self-titled CD, which is It's Fun to Be Ukrainian, and we're going to be playing the title track. And for the Ukrainian impaired, it's mostly in English, so you'll be able to understand what's going on, but there are a few key phrases in Ukrainian that I'm going to teach you right now. And the first one that you're going to hear, I think, is «Яксьямаєш, дуже добре», and that's actually a conversation. «Яксьямаєш» means «Hey, how are ya?» and «Дуже добре» means «Very good». So keep that up. That's going to be a recurring theme throughout the song. So, you know, if you can manage to memorize that, you can either even sing along that portion. Яксьямаєш дуже добре. And a couple of other terms that you, in English, that are sort of anglicized Ukrainian terms that you may or may not, and depending on where you're listening from and how familiar you are with Ukrainian culture, you may or may not be familiar with. So pierogies or перехе is like a Ukrainian dumpling, sort of like like a large ravioli. Holubtsi is cabbage rolls, so little bits of little cabbage leaves stuffed with rice or buckwheat or millet or whatever. And kubasa is a smoked Ukrainian garlic sausage, and it is to die for. Kishka is blood sausage, and that is, I think, an acquired taste. I'm not sure I have quite acquired it myself. And chesnek means garlic, and zabava doranya means party till dawn. So, here you go. It's Fun to Be Ukrainian by Shum from Winnipeg.
Hey, zabava, zabava doranya. Hey, zabava, zabava doranya. Підемо затанчуємо, забава до рання. Де всі дівчата і хлопці зійшлися, забава до рання. Хей, забава, забава до рання.
It's fun to be Ukrainian. It's nice to be a Uke. If you were born Ukrainian, well, consider it a fluke. It's alright to be a Spaniard, an Italian, or a Jew. But it's so fun to be Ukrainian. I'm Ukrainian, how about you? It's great to eat perohe. Angels eat kubasa when it's meal time up above. It's not that I don't like a But since Akishka seduced my taste buds, all the other food goes right down the drain. Scotland. His mother's from Siam, but it's so fun to be Ukrainian. He says Ukrainian is what I am. Hey! Yaksamayish! Now, sad and lonely, you don't know what to do. You feel that life's just not worth living. Well, here's a tip for you. Just change your name to Kowalczyk. Have garlic with your meal. And tell everyone you're Ukrainian. And see how much better you
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
Don't
And from Montreal, that was a group called Chetamshina from their CD Best of Chetamshina, and a song that is very apropos for Vancouver and the west coast of Canada, in fact, or at least this area, and certainly Vancouver Island, where I am. And the song is called Oinahori Doshjide, which means it's raining in the mountains. And I have to tell you, after that dump of snow last month, we're really, really happy to have the rain. And before them, you heard Dunai from Ajax, Ontario, from a CD called Soundscape, and Chetispola Shirokea, which means across the wide field. Up next, more Saskatoonians, if that's a word, a group called Lastilka Ukrainian Choir and Orchestra from Saskatoon, and from a CD called Stepom, which means across the wide steps. And here they are now with Yak Isho Yaz Debrechina, and that is about a city in Ukraine. Well, it's just a whole mishmash of fun stuff. It's also called Chorna Kura, Black Hen. So here they are now, Lastilka Ukrainian Choir and Orchestra from Saskatoon.
Не розкажу нікому, так я мила, притискала до себе, чи любиш мене, чи візьмеш мене, бо я мію без тебе, так я мила, притискала до себе, чи любиш мене, чи візьмеш мене, бо я мію без тебе. На попусту знайшла мене вишиваною пусту. Ой, чи мила, чи не милою жила, лебе вона вишиваною.
не заважай по дорозі нікому. Іде, іде чорна кура додому. Не заважай по дорозі нікому. Іде, іде чорна кура додому. Не заважай по дорозі нікому.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Копать Маруся, гей, хоп-хоп-хоп-хоп-хоп, величеньку. У вишневому саду, чи не піде дівчинонька, рамка чи побави Маруся, чи не піде дівчинонька, рамка чи побави Маруся, гей. Вишла, вишла, вишла дівчинонька, рано вранці воду брать. Ченька, де коня напугать Маруся, а за нею козаченька, де коня напугать Маруся, гей.
Просив, просив, просив вітеречко, вона йому не дала.
Дари, дари, з руки перстень,
вона його не взяла, Маруся.
Дари, дари, з руки перстень, Чала Маруся, гей!
And a traditional Ukrainian folk song from the Cossack era, Rozpirahajte Chlopci Koni, Unharness Your Horses, Boys. And that was performed by a group called Kobzari from an album called The Dove, Holubivna. And this is a group from Nebraska. They came onto the Nebraska music scene back in 1972, recorded this wonderful album, a great collection of Ukrainian folk songs in 1978, and haven't been heard from or of since. So if anybody knows anything about this group, about the Ukrainian music scene in Nebraska, or is involved in the Ukrainian community in Nebraska, I'd love to hear from you. Please drop us a line here, producer@noshholos.com, and let us know what's going on in Nebraska, and if there are any more fabulous, or have been any since this recording was made, any more available of wonderful Ukrainian music by groups from that area. Again, that was Rozpirahajte Chlopci Koni by the Nebraska group Kobzari. Up next is Vesel Pavlovsky with a cultural capsule.
Hello, I'm Vasil Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. His father was a well-known folklorist, and at the request of a well-known composer and his contemporary Mykola Lysenko, he named his son Mykola. Mykola was born on December 6, 1903, in the western Ukrainian town of Sambir, and in his youth was actively involved in the Ukrainian scouting organization known as PLAST. Though like so many other musicians in this world, he did not start his education in music, but started his studies in the Faculty of Medicine at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, Poland in 1922. Though possibly his exposure at a very young age to music by attending the concerts of Lysenko, Stanislav Dudkiewicz, Anatoly Vakhnianin, and Denis Sitchinsky with his parents had influenced him, and he realized he was cut out to be a musician. In 1928, before completing his studies at the University and Conservatory in Prague, he composed Ukrainian Suite, and in 1931 he honed his skills as a student of Czech composer Václav Novák. It was during his studies under Novák which he composed symphonic variations. In 1937 he composed his suite Lemko Wedding for mixed choir and accompaniment by bowed instruments or piano. During the Polish occupation of Western Ukraine, Kolesa, like many others of the Ukrainian intelligentsia, was incarcerated in the notorious Bereza Kartuska prison, located in what is now Belarus. Through the 1930s, he was a professor at the Mykola Lysenko Music Institute, which in the 40s was renamed the State Conservatory by the new Soviet regime. In 1949, he composed his first symphony. From 1953 through 65, he was rector at the conservatory in Lviv. While still rector at the conservatory, he published The Basis of Technical Conducting, which went on to be republished countless times. Kolesa completed his second symphony after he left his position as rector. In the 1990s, a Canadian friend of mine was visiting Ukraine with his mother, who was a friend of Kolesa's. They, like many others, had been separated by World War II. My friend Yuri's cousin had found out where Kolesa lived, and upon arriving at Kolesa's home, he asked him if he knew a certain person. Kolesa replied, "Sure, I'm writing her. She's in Montreal right now." Yuri's cousin replied, "That's fine, but she is waiting outside in the car and wants to see you." That must have been some reunion. Kolesa died at the age of 102 on June 8, 2006. I'm Vasil Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capital featured Ukraine's patriarch of conducting and composer, Mykola Kolesa.
And that is the second of three preludes called The Ballad About Dovbush, that by Mykola Kolesa, who Vassell just told you all about. And that is from a CD called The Vancouver Collection, performed on piano by virtuoso Athela Chuprik. And it's called The Vancouver Collection because it was recorded here in Vancouver 2 or 3 years ago. And it was out at UBC where it was recorded. And we almost had a chance to meet Athela, but it was right around Ukrainian Christmas, and she wanted to get back in time for the holidays. So hopefully another time. But in the meantime, she did leave behind this wonderful CD, again called The Vancouver Collection, Undiscovered Geniuses Piano Music. Myrna Kostash has been a prolific and passionate literary voice in Canada for the past 4 decades. Her works include books of creative nonfiction, plays, and articles. Over the course of her writing career, she's been very active in the development of the literary arts in Canada. She's a founding member of the Periodical Writers Association of Canada, the Writers Guild of Alberta, and the Creative Nonfiction Collective. Myrna has received many awards, most recently this year's Matt Cohen Award for Lifetime Achievement in Writing. Ukrainian Canadians, of course, know her best for her book All of Baba's Children, which was published in 1978 and has never gone out of print. In addition to her works on politics, feminism, and other mainstream topics, she has continued to write books about her Ukrainian heritage, or perhaps more accurately, her explorations of it. Her most recent release is Prodigal Daughter, A Journey to Byzantium, by the University of Alberta Press, which is in bookstores now. Just back from a book tour on the prairies, she has graciously agreed to an interview even before recovering from jet lag. We spoke on Skype a few days ago.
Thanks so much for joining us, Myrna. I hope you're rested a wee bit.
I actually am. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Oh, great. Well, I'm just so glad that you're with us. And congratulations on receiving the Matt Cohen Award.
Thank you. That was very moving for me, actually, because I knew Matt way back when I first arrived in Toronto to do my master's degree at the University of Toronto. He was the only name I had, yeah. Sort of clutched in on a little piece of paper from mutual friends in Edmonton. And he wasn't a writer at that point. I wasn't a writer, but we eventually both became writers. And we were buddies until I moved it back to Edmonton. And then our contact was sporadic. But it meant a lot to me to receive an award in his name.
Oh, that's great. Well, and certainly well-deserved, a lifetime achievement. You certainly have done that. I was really intrigued by the topic of this book, Prodigal Daughter. And, of course, I devoured all of Baba's Children shortly after you wrote it. Absolutely devoured it, Myrna. Mm. And I followed your writing career over the years. And how I came to see you as a fellow Ukrainian-Canadian was this very political, left-wing political, of course, and pretty much anti-religion. And I found that was reflected in your work over the years. Now you've found religion, and I'm going to come back to that. But first, a question I've been dying to ask for years. How did a nice Ukrainian girl from Two Hills, Alberta, become such a political firebrand?
I wasn't from Two Hills. I grew up in Edmonton. I was born, grew up in Edmonton. Two Hills was the place I picked to do the research for All of Baba's Children.
Oh.
I picked it because in my naivety at the time, I had just come back from 10 years away from Alberta to do this book. I wanted a place where there had never been any Kostashes. So no Kostash had ever lived or worked in Two Hills. So I thought that I would be anonymous. Little did I realize how these prairie towns and these ethnic communities actually work, because as soon as I said my name, people said, oh, Kostash, who's Kostash? Bill, Elias, you know, Harry, whatever. And of course, what it was is that my uncles had all taught in the area, Harry Hill and Smoky Lake, Willingdon, Andrew, an uncle farmed at Royal Park. So of course, the family is extremely well known. And I was welcomed into people's homes as a result. This turned out to be a double-edged sword, however, because when the book finally came out, as you can imagine, there were some people who were not at all happy with my interpretation of the information they had given me. And so there was a bit of a, a backlash that we welcomed you into our home. We knew your family, and look what you say about us. Look how you treat us.
Okay, so and you're talking about like the politics that you injected.
Yeah. But by the same token, I discovered that there were other Ukrainian Canadians who admired me in the book for exactly that reason. Thank you for telling our story. Mm-hmm. And I was very much aware, conscious of the fact that when I was working on the material, that I was trying to write a perspective on Ukrainian-Canadian history from my generation. And most of the books, indeed I think all of the books that I read at the time had come from either a pioneer generation or my parents, who were the first ones born in Canada, and I was the next generation, and I was free psychologically as well as politically to examine our history, you know, warts and all.
I remember thinking that when I read it. Oh, great, somebody from my generation. It was fresh and contemporary.
I'm glad you noticed that, because I had, you know, separated myself from the community, for at least the previous 10 years. And I was, you know, in the throes of the 60s, right, and the student movement and the women's movement. And when I came back to Alberta to do the research, I really didn't think I was going to stay. I thought I was going to come and do the research, go back to Toronto and resume my cosmopolitan life. And I never did, because when the book came out, I was claimed, you know, by people, whether they liked the book or hated it. They claimed me as one of theirs, right? Mm-hmm. And I found this very, very moving. And I can't really explain why, for example, I even chose to do that particular book. I still can't answer why, for my first book, I picked up and, you know, left Toronto in order to go and hang out. I lived in Two Hills in a motel for 3 months, right, to do these stories. And when I hadn't shown the least bit interest or inclination toward them for the previous decade, right?
Yeah.
Now that I can look back as you say, almost four decades and several books exploring this Ukrainian identity, I can see that it was the beginning of an obsession, if you like. And I've never let it go. And each, you know, as I evolve through identity questions as a Ukrainian Canadian, I bring out a new book, right? So all of Baba's Children is me at a very sort of rough, raw, quite naive position vis-a-vis what I would learn later about us, right? And I was challenged then to go to Ukraine, or as people say, well, when are you going to go back? Of course, we'd never been.
Yeah.
So when are you going to go back to Ukraine and tell the Ukrainian story? Well, I eventually did that in the book Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
I had many other, you know, purposes for that book as well, but one of them was to find the connection between being a Ukrainian Canadian and a Ukrainian and the history of Ukraine. And that in turn has produced a Prodigal Daughter, because in trying to understand who we were, who, you know, in sort of the deep history and the ethnicity and politics of Ukraine, I understood that underneath all of that is this original bedrock of Byzantium. We are who we are as Ukrainians, at least those of us who are, well, certainly those of us who were raised in the Orthodox Church, but even so, even the Ukrainian Catholics have their origin in Byzantium and Cyrillic alphabet, for example. And that whole question of being in the East, there's this border that divides Europe between East and West. It's a very old border. It was laid down in the Roman Empire. And so this sense that by being in the East, we are eventually going to find ourselves in Constantinople, you know, Tsarigrad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Became the impetus for Prodigal Daughter.
Mm-hmm. So all of Baba's Children was very, very successful, of course. It, as you say, you know, we claimed you and you found your writer's identity, although you did a lot of mainstream stuff as well, and certainly, you know, made your mark in the mainstream literary circles in Canada. But I remember a few years back, about 4 or 5 years ago, you came to Vancouver. There was a literary, an academic literary symposium of sorts here. And you were on a panel with people like Yaris Balon and Helen Hren. And I remember you talking about how Baba's all of Baba's children, while you appreciated what it had done for you, it was kind of a bit of an albatross around your neck because it sort of marked you for a certain type of writing.
Indeed. You know, writers are cursed by their first books, right? that, you know, we go on, we evolve, we develop, we go on to have new interests, but people remember us for the book that made an impression on them. And I don't regret for a minute or complain for a minute about the fact that all of Baba's children went viral, as we would say now. And there are people who are still reading it, a new generation that is reading it. But it has represented or felt to me a bit of an albatross in that, heavens, it was my first book, right? I've written 10, and more to the point, I really evolved, stylistically, and I think you would agree that, that by when you get to a prodigal daughter, you've got a very different voice speaking to, narrating to in that book than in all of Baba's children. So, I would just wish that I had taken along all those readers of all of Baba's children through my next books, especially Bloodlines, which for me was my first genuine creative nonfiction book. I really made a breakthrough there. In a literary way, and it does answer the question that people challenged me with. Well, what about Ukraine? I really took that very seriously. So I would, direct your listeners to Bloodlines, A Journey to Eastern Europe, as a midway point, as I say, between Two Hills and Byzantium. If they want to know how I got from Two Hills to Byzantium, that's the book that will tell them.
And it's still available, isn't it, for purchase?
Oh, yeah.
Through Chapters Indigo?
Well, I'm not sure about Chapters. Your better bet is your local independent bookstore, or just go straight to the website of the publisher.
Okay.
Order from there. So I just want to say something about Prodigal Daughter as the kind of book it is, so people aren't misled. It's called a creative nonfiction for a reason. Creative nonfiction are those books that are described as part this, part that, part that, part this, right? And that's exactly what Prodigal Daughter is. It's part travelogue, it's part memoir, it's part reportage, it's part history, art history, part theology. It's got all of those elements to it. But what's uniting it, what's sort of the narrative of it all, is that I start off on a journey to try to understand Byzantium from a Slav perspective, because as we were Christianized and brought into Byzantium, through my relationship, if you can put it that way, with a particular saint, Saint Demetrius of Thessalonica, who we know as Svetý Dmitry Solunský. He was a very, very pivotal figure for me because he was both a hero for the Greeks and a saint that we would eventually venerate ourselves. And so that's where I started, and I began by traveling through the Balkans, just collecting whatever I could find out about him and about the history of Byzantines and the Slavs. But, of course, all kinds of other things got woven into that, as I say, current affairs and my own reflections and interviews with people. And
it is a very rich book, Myrna. It's not one you can just kind of sit and whip through, because you've got to think about what you're writing. You go really deep into yourself, and I really admire that. And I was struck, especially in the first part where it's, sort of the prologue.
Yes.
Where you kind of, describe, just setting the stage. And many times I just laughed out loud. I mean, some of the stuff that you came up with, taking yourself so seriously in the 60s. And there's a saying for writers that it's easy. All you have to do is sit down, open a vein. And I think if, that could speak to any writing, certainly is in your book, Prodigal Daughter, and of course, earlier too, I think, but more so this one. All of Baba's Children was also there. Was you pour yourself into your writing.
But I wasn't there there was no first person there.
Yeah, it wasn't as mature.
It wasn't creative nonfiction yet. It was what I call the new journalism. I wrote from within new journalism when I wrote All of Baba's Children.
Okay.
And really, very briefly, what that means is that it's journalism with a great big attitude. So that's what you sense in All of Baba's Children, without my speaking for myself, but you sense my attitude to everything that I'm talking about. And then with creative nonfiction, the first person, the writer herself, becomes one of the characters that you're thinking about and talking about and revealing and so on, and even more so in Prodigal Daughter.
Yeah.
I continue to write what you call the mainstream books, which are what I would call my Canadian topics. my new world topics. And I do want to mention that a year ago I published a book that's become very, very important to me as well, and is having an impact on other communities. And that's a book called The Frog Lake Reader.
All right.
Which brought together everything that I could find in the literature of the Frog Lake Massacre, which occurred in 1885, so 125 years ago in what is now Alberta. So that, keep in mind that for every book of Ukrainian exploration of Ukrainian identity, I'm also still identifying myself as a Canadian with social issues on her mind.
For which the Canadian literary world thanks you, and the readers thank you very much. And I thank you for sharing all this, Myrna, and for the work that you do. And thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us here in Nash Hollis.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me. I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, great. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to talking more when you're here on the island.
Absolutely. We'll make a date.
Okay, thanks, Myrna.
Okay, bye-bye.
I was speaking via Skype with Myrna Kostash, author of Prodigal Daughter, A Journey to Byzantium, published by the University of Alberta Press and now available from Chapters Indigo, Amazon, and the University of Alberta Press, and of course, your nearest independent bookseller. You can find out more about Myrna Kostash and her work at her website, which is myrnakostash.com. Myrna and I actually spoke for about a half an hour, and unfortunately there just wasn't enough time to include everything. She revealed much of her journey back to the church and other influences in writing Prodigal Daughter and her other works. So if you'd like to hear everything that Myrna had to say, just check the Nash Hollis website. I will have the unedited version of our interview there as well. That's www.nashhollis.com.
Пасла дівка лебеді на зеленій леваді. Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Як не бачу гіркого плачу, літа свої марно трачу. Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Краще було утопитись, ніж з миленьким розлучитись. Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Пасла дівка лебеді на зеленій леваді. Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла? Ой, доле ж моя, де ж ти з водою да попливла?
You're listening to Nash Hollis, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Thank you.
And from Edmonton, that was the Playboy Band from their self-titled CD and the Supper Waltz. And before the break, you heard Ukrainochka from Kiev, Ukraine, and a CD called Bohenya Kochanya, Bohenya Krese, which means beautiful or goddess of beauty, goddess of love. Actually, it's the other way around. And a song called Pasla Divka Lebedi, which is a song about unrequited love, sung by a maiden who's tending swans in the pasture. For the very best in Ukrainian music from all corners of the globe, tune in to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you courtesy Keith Perron and PCJ Radio. This broadcast will be archived at the PCJ website, which is pcjmedia.com. You can find out more about Nash Holos and catch the Vancouver broadcast at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com. And that's NASHHOLOS. Our time together is just about up, but before I leave you, some Ukrainian words of wisdom. Краще сидіти і мовчати тихо, чим робити для когось лихо. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is better to be silent than to cause trouble. Well, that about wraps up our program. So to leave you, I've got one last tune, and this is from a CD called Learning Curves, Cymbala Favorites, and Cymbala is a hammered dulcimer. And it was put together, this CD was put together by a virtuoso on the cymbala who's been at it for 25 years and has played with orchestras, actually, by ear. And his name is Stephen Chwok. He hosts a program called the Zabava Program out of Edmonton on CFCW Radio. And it is also streams online Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you'd like to tune in and catch more polka music. And we're going to be wrapping up our program here with one of his students who appeared on this album. His name is Evan Osinchuk, and the song is called Hop Shoop. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nosh Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobachenia.